Are we all good? So, pietists. This is a kind of Christian group. For them, Christianity is about personal holiness. To them, they don't worry about doctrine so much.
Ils ne se préoccupent pas vraiment de la doctrine.
To them, Christianity is an experience of a relationship with God.
Pour eux, être chrétien, c'est rechercher une relation avec Dieu.
And in some ways, Eastern Christianity is like that.
La chrétienté orientale est un peu comme cela.
Maybe you've heard of the Quakers.
Peut-être que vous avez entendu parler des Quakers.
I believe the majority of Quakers are actually in Africa.
Je crois que la majorité des Quakers sont en Afrique.
They were founded by George Fox.
Les Quakers ont été fondés par George Fox.
And they were called Quakers.
On les appelait Quakers.
Because they would shake when they're...
Donc ils tremblent.
And in their worship service,
leur adoration,
they would primarily be quiet.
Ils sont silencieux.
And experience Christ. Worship. It's about a quiet experience.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Voilà. Donc, dans leur culte, ils sont calmes pour mieux expérimenter le Christ.
And if you go to the Quakers website,
alors, quand on va sur le site web des Quakers,
if you're trying to find out what their doctrine is,
pour voir quelle est leur doctrine,
good luck.
Bonne chance.
They don't commit to any particular doctrine.
Il ne s'engage à aucune doctrine. I have a question.
Yeah.
There's a famous oatmeal brand.
Quaker Oats.
Quaker Oats.
Yeah, that's from Pennsylvania.
Does that have anything to do with them?
The most famous Quaker in history.
Le plus fameux Quaker de l'histoire.
His name was William Penn.
Il s'appelait William Penn.
He established a colony in America called Pennsylvania.
Il a établi la colonie, une colonie aux États-Unis appelée Pennsylvanie.
He was a Quaker.
Il était Quaker.
The Quakers are pacifists.
Les Quakers sont pacifistes.
They refuse to be involved in any kind of violence.
Ils refusent d'être impliqués dans la violence.
Now, there's a sense in which the Quakers are the exact opposite of the Church of Christ.
Sur certains plans, les Quakers sont l'opposé même de l'Église du Christ.
Because we will see that doctrine is very, very important to the Church of Christ.
On verra que la doctrine est très importante pour l'Église du Christ.
And experiencing that relationship with God is not important.
Et expérimenter cette relation spéciale avec Dieu n'est pas aussi important dans l'Église du Christ.
That's our history.
C'est de là que nous venons.
Now, we have corrected.
Bon, il est vrai que nous avons corrigé cela.
In the right direction from that.
Dans la bonne direction.
Anyway. All right, next, the Baptists.
The prochain.
There's many Baptists. Baptists.
Okay, the Baptist, oui.
The biggest denomination in America is Baptist.
La plus grande dénomination aux États-Unis, c'est les Baptistes.
I'm sure there's Baptists all over here.
Je sais qu'il y a des Baptistes partout dans le monde.
They started in the early 17th century.
Ils ont commencé au début du 17e siècle.
In their very early history,
au début de leur histoire,
almost exactly the same as the Anabaptists.
Presque exactement comme les Anabaptistes.
They were go back to the Bible movement.
Ils c'était un mouvement de retour à la Bible.
Also, they reestablished baptism of adults.
Ils ont aussi rétabli le baptême des adultes.
They did not accept the name Anabaptist.
Et ils ont refusé le nom de Anabaptiste.
Because by then the Anabaptists had a terrible reputation.
Parce que au début du mouvement baptiste, la réputation des Anabaptistes était vraiment horrible.
They did not call themselves Baptists.
Ils ne se sont pas appelés eux-mêmes baptistes.
They called themselves the Church of Christ.
Ils ont choisi le nom. Quand ils ont commencé, ils ont dit ils sont l'Église du Christ.
If you read the history of Christianity in England,
quand vous lisez l'histoire du christianisme en Angleterre,
in the 17th century,
au 17e siècle,
they talk about the Church of Christ.
Ça parle des Églises du Christ.
But our religious group started in the 19th century.
Mais nous, notre mouvement, ou bien c'est là d'où nous venons.
That could be
du 19e siècle.
That could be confusing.
Ça porte à confusion, n'est-ce pas?
But what they called the Church of Christ,
mais ce que ils ont appelé l'Église du Christ,
eventually got the name Baptists.
Est devenu les Baptistes. Okay.
That was what their enemies called them.
C'est le nom que les ennemis leur ont donné.
Those baptizers.
Ces baptiseurs.
Yeah. Very early in this movement, they separated into two groups.
Très tôt dans le mouvement, ils se sont séparés en deux groupes.
General Baptist.
Les Baptistes généraux.
Particular Baptist.
Et les Baptistes particuliers.
The first group said Jesus died for all sinners.
Le premier groupe dit que Jésus est mort pour tous les pécheurs.
The second group said that Jesus died only for the elect.
Le deuxième groupe dit Jésus est seulement mort pour les élus.
So which group is Calvinist?
Dans lequel des deux groupes est calviniste?
The general or the particular?
Le général ou le particulier?
The particular. In England, both groups almost 50-50.
En Angleterre, on trouve les deux groupes.
If you meet
à égal quantité.
If you meet an English Baptist,
si tu rencontres un baptiste anglais,
very good chance they believe that you're saved by baptism and all that, you know. They're not Calvinist.
Ils ne sont pas calvinistes.
Now, the first Baptists in America,
le premier baptiste aux États-Unis,
were in Rhode Island. I don't know if you ever heard of Rhode Island.
Les premiers baptistes aux États-Unis étaient dans l'état de Rhode Island.
They were this kind.
Ils étaient les premiers, les généraux.
The second group came to Georgia and South Carolina.
Le deuxième groupe est apparu en Georgie et en Caroline du Sud.
They were this kind. In America today,
aux États-Unis aujourd'hui,
it's probably 98%.
C'est probablement 98%.
And maybe 2%.
De baptistes particuliers et 2% de baptistes généraux.
I'm guessing.
Je devine.
I only met one Baptist ever.
Dans toute ma vie, j'ai rencontré un seul Baptiste.
Who was a general Baptist.
Qui est un Baptiste général.
So when I say Baptists are Calvinist,
alors, quand je dis que les Baptistes sont calvinistes,
good enough.
Assez bon.
But remember,
mais rappelez-vous,
when you talk to somebody,
quand on parle à quelqu'un,
treat them with respect.
Le principe, c'est de traiter la personne avec respect.
Ask them what they believe.
On demande à la personne en face quelles sont tes croyances.
But they're Methodists. I mean, sorry, they're Calvinists.
Ils sont calvinistes.
Okay, next important group.
Autre group.
Oh, wait. I have to talk about one other thing. So, the way I describe it is the Reformation had the First Reformation and the Second Reformation.
Donc, selon moi, il y a la première réforme et la deuxième réforme.
This is my own language.
C'est moi qui définis ainsi.
I don't know if anybody else talks about it this way.
Je ne sais pas si une autre personne a adopté cette différence.
So, at some point,
donc, à un moment donné,
Christendom collapsed.
L'église état s'est effondrée.
And finally,
finalement,
Individuals are given the right to choose their religion.
Chaque personne a eu le droit de choisir sa religion.
The first place that happened was in Holland.
Le premier endroit où cela s'est passé, c'est aux Pays-Bas.
Quite early.
Très, très tôt.
Second, the state in America, Rhode Island.
Ensuite, à Rhode Island, qui est un des États des États-Unis.
Next.
Ensuite.
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
Thanks to William Penn.
Grâce à William Penn.
And finally, England.
Et finalement, en Angleterre.
And 100 years later, France.
Et 100 ans plus tard, en France.
So individuals were given the right to choose their religion.
Et voilà le moment où les individus ont eu le droit de choisir leur religion.
And this produced a second Reformation.
Et cela a produit une deuxième réforme.
Because from about around 1550 until early 1700, almost no change in Christianity.
Parce que des années 1500 jusqu'à la fin de l'année 1700, il n'y a pas eu d'évolution dans le christianisme.
But once humans were given the right to decide what they're going to believe, there's this huge growth of new groups.
Dès que l'être humain, quand on donne à l'être humain la chance de choisir sa religion, il y a beaucoup de changements qui se produisent.
In the year 1600,
en 1600,
there were maybe six Christian groups.
Il y avait à peu près cinq groupes chrétiens.
The Copts,
les Copts,
Orthodox,
les Orthodox,
Catholic,
les Catholiques,
Reformed Zwingli,
les Reformistes de Zwingli,
Lutheran,
les Lutheriens.
That's about it.
À peu près.
But within 100 years, there's like 50.
Mais 100 ans plus tard, là, 50.
Within 200 years, there's 500.
500 groups.
And now there must be 20,000 different churches.
Et maintenant, peut-être 20 000 différentes églises.
I call that the Second Reformation.
Ce que je vais décrire, c'est la deuxième réforme.
Is that good or bad?
Est-ce que c'est bon ou c'est pas bon?
You know, I've struggled with this for a long time.
Pendant longtemps, j'ai pensé à ça, j'ai lutté avec.
We're going to see that Alexander Campbell,
nous verrons que Alexander Campbell
and Barton Stone,
et Barton Stone,
they started what we sometimes call the Restoration Movement.
On commencé ce que nous appelons parfois le mouvement de restauration.
And their project was to bring all Christians together as one.
Et ils avaient un projet. Leur projet était de réunir tous les chrétiens sous une seule bannière.
So how'd it work?
Comment ça s'est passé?
It didn't work.
Est-ce qu'ils ont réussi?
I'll just tell you my personal opinion.
Je vous donne mon opinion.
At this point,
à ce point-ci,
this project,
ce projet,
in English we say it's a fool's errand. A fool's errand. You ever heard that expression? It's like, why would you want to try something that's so totally impossible?
C'est un projet un peu impossible. Ouais. Pourquoi vouloir faire une chose pareille? C'est-à-dire rassembler toutes les dénominations.
I think
je crois
that there are people here in Côte d'Ivoire,
et il y a des personnes ici à Côte d'Ivoire
who could be saved,
qui peuvent être sauvées,
but our church culture,
la culture de notre église,
they would never be attracted to our church culture.
Ça ne les attirerait pas. C'est-à-dire qu'ils ne sont pas attirés par nous ou par la manière dont nous sommes ou nous faisons l'église.
But there's another group out there.
Mais il y a un autre groupe.
We don't agree with them on certain things.
Avec qui nous ne sommes pas d'accord sur certains points.
Maybe they're not essential things.
Peut-être que les points de désaccord ne sont pas des points essentiels.
Maybe they could help them become a Christian.
Peut-être que ceux-là peuvent aider la population à devenir chrétienne.
I think the variety is not as evil, maybe, as we think.
Je pense que la variété n'est pas aussi mauvaise que nous pensons.
That's my thinking.
C'est ma pensée.
Okay, next group is... Oh, Zinzendorf. Yeah. I don't have time to talk about Zinzendorf. Oh, I wish I could. That was a group of pietists.
Alors, c'est un groupe de pietistes.
I'll mention one thing.
Alors, je vais mentionner quand même une chose.
Protestant churches.
Les églises protestantes.
From the early 16th century.
Du début du 16e siècle.
Until the mid 18th century.
Jusqu'au milieu du 18e siècle.
For almost 250 years.
Pour 200 ans, presque 200 ans.
They established no missions.
N'ont implanté aucune mission.
No missionaries.
N'ont envoyé aucun missionnaire.
None.
Zero.
250 years.
200 ans.
That is a shame and an embarrassment.
C'est une honte, un embarras.
Let me tell you one reason.
Je vais vous donner une raison.
Calvinism.
La raison, c'est le calvinisme.
Calvinism says,
Calvinisme dit,
oh, those African people,
oh, ces Africains,
they're reprobate.
Ils sont réprouvés.
They're children of Ham.
Ce sont des gens, qui doivent aller en enfer.
We go there.
Nous allons là-bas.
We enslave them.
Nous les faisons esclaves.
And so, almost no evangelism.
Donc, pas d'évangélisation.
Guess who was doing most of the evangelism during that time?
Pendant ce temps, devinez qui faisait l'évangélisation.
The Catholics were.
Les catholiques, eux, étaient en train d'évangéliser.
They came to Congo.
Ils sont arrivés au Congo.
And other places in Africa.
Et en d'autres endroits en Afrique.
Not the Protestants.
Les protestants n'étaient pas.
The Catholics.
Les catholiques.
They went to China.
Ils sont allés en Chine.
They went to India.
En
they went to Japan.
Japon.
They went to Philippines.
Philippines.
So that's interesting.
C'est intéressant.
The first Protestant to take evangelism seriously was this guy, Count Zinzendorf.
Le protestant qui a pris avantage de tout cela, c'est le comte Zinzendorf.
Yeah. He was a pietist.
Il était un pietiste.
He didn't worry about what denomination and what doctrine.
Pour lui, peu importe la dénomination ou la doctrine.
He came to Africa.
Alors, il est venu en Afrique.
And he also came to the Caribbean.
Et allait aussi aux Caraïbes.
And these were white people.
Ce sont des blancs.
And they came and lived with the slaves.
Ils sont venus habiter là où les esclaves habitaient.
It's a beautiful story.
And
Zinzendorf,
Zinzendorf
influenced John Wesley.
Jean et Charles Wesley.
He also influenced Alexander Campbell.
Il a aussi influencé Alexander Campbell.
This was never a large group.
C'était un petit groupe.
But they had very large influence. Because they lived extraordinary lives. Okay, so next we talk about John Wesley.
John Wesley.
Founded the movement that we think of as the Methodist Church.
Qui a fondé le mouvement qui s'appelle l'Église méthodiste.
They formed from within the Anglican Church.
Alors, c'est parti de l'Église anglicane.
And he started a holiness movement.
Il a commencé un mouvement qui est un mouvement de sainteté.
Because the Anglican Church was almost completely dead.
Parce que l'Église anglicane était presque morte.
In England, church attendance was very low.
En Angleterre, ceux qui venaient à l'Église étaient en très petit nombre.
The poor and the uneducated, almost none of them went to church.
Les pauvres et les personnes non instruites ne venaient jamais à l'église.
What did the Anglican church do about that?
Alors, qu'est-ce que l'église anglicane a fait pour corriger cela?
Nothing.
Rien.
John Wesley was an amazing person.
John Wesley était une personne incroyable.
He went to Oxford.
Il avait étudié à Oxford.
Became best friends with George Whitefield.
Il est devenu meilleurs amis avec George Whitefield.
And the two of them were a major force in what's called the First Great Awakening.
Et les deux ont été considérés comme une grande force qu'on a appelée the First Great Awakening.
Yeah.
Le premier grand réveil.
And this is when Christian revivals started to happen.
Dans ce moment qu'a commencé ce qu'on appelait les réveils chrétiens.
And you have preachers going out doing revivals.
Et les prédicateurs allaient de lieu en lieu pour prêcher pour le réveil.
Now John Wesley was Arminian.
John Wesley était Arminien.
Is that good or bad?
Donc Arminien.
That's very good.
Est-ce que c'est bien? C'est pas bien.
He was the chief.
C'est pas bien.
The chief balance to Calvinism.
Il était le contrepoids du Calvinisme.
So he strongly stressed adult conversion.
Donc, il a mis l'accent sur la conversion des adultes.
Probably the principal force for the idea that conversion is when you're an adult.
Et ce qu'il disait vraiment qu'il faut se convertir quand on est seulement adulte.
But he taught infant baptism.
Mais il a aussi enseigné le baptême des enfants.
So he had this idea.
Dans son idée.
You baptize the baby.
C'est qu'on baptise le bébé.
Why? I don't know.
Pourquoi, je sais pas.
Because he didn't believe in original sin.
Parce qu'il croyait pas au péché originel.
But then an adult has an awakening.
Mais il disait que l'adulte, c'est-à-dire à l'âge adulte, on a un réveil.
They have a personal heart experience.
Que on peut être baptisé enfant, mais quand on grandit, on se réveille, on est plus conscient des choses.
This is the beginning of evangelicalism.
Et c'est le début du mouvement évangélique.
Right, your evangelical friend says, when did you become a Christian?
Nos amis évangéliques disent quoi? À quel moment deviens chrétien?
I felt a warming in my heart, or something like that.
Ils disent, j'ai senti une chaleur dans mon cœur.
And so they began, you know, their people would fall on the ground and they would, you know, shake and things like that.
Donc, on voyait les gens, par exemple, qui tombaient à terre et qui tremblaient.
But John Wesley had all these rules for how to be holy.
Mais John Wesley avait une liste de règles sur comment être saint.
You pray a certain amount.
Qu'on priait un certain nombre d'heures.
You fast a certain amount.
Qu'on jeûnait un certain nombre de jours.
You read the Bible. They had Bible studies. They were really, really into Bible studies. Oh my goodness. So he had his method. Very organized. So they called them Methodists. He was like Pelagius. He taught that you could become sinless.
Il a enseigné comme Pélage qu'on peut arriver à un point où on est sans péché.
Or nearly sinless.
Ou presque sans péché.
That's why they called them a holiness movement.
C'est pour cela qu'on appelle son mouvement le mouvement de la sainteté.
Now I'm going to reveal something to you that really is for much later.
Je vous révèle quelque chose normalement qui est prévu pour plus tard.
The Pentecostal movement,
le mouvement pentecôtiste,
if you think about it,
en y pensant,
obviously,
de toute évidence,
but only obviously if you think about it for a long time,
seulement de toute évidence, si tu y penses longtemps,
they came from the Methodists.
Viennent des Methodists. Okay.
That's a historical fact.
C'est un fait historique.
And they never would have come from the Presbyterians. Or the Baptists.
Ou des Baptistes.
So hopefully I can explain that later. And John Wesley, he preached something like 40,000 sermons.
A prêché environ 40,000 messages.
More than 800 sermons.
Plus de 800 messages.
Every year.
Chaque année.
For 50 years.
Pendant 50 ans.
The guy was Incredible.
Vous imaginez? Ça va?
Because of Wesley very, very strongly emphasized taking care of the poor.
Wesley a mis l'accent sur les pauvres.
The widows, the orphans.
Les veuves, les orphelins.
Before John Wesley,
avant John Wesley,
the Christians were doing very little help to help them.
Les chrétiens faisaient peu de choses pour les pauvres, les veuves, les orphelins.
An important exception, though,
à l'exception de,
was the German pietists that I didn't talk about.
Allemand, qu'on a pas couvert.
But John Wesley is considered a pietist.
Mais John Wesley est considéré aussi comme un pietiste.
Because of John Wesley,
à cause de John Wesley,
have you heard of the song Amazing Grace?
Yes.
Vous connaissez le chant Amazing Grace? Amazing Grace.
Yeah, that was a Methodist tune. He also influenced William Wilberforce. The one who brought abolition to England. John Wesley was the first important Christian to very strongly oppose slavery.
John Wesley est celui qui a vraiment opposé, l'a proposé, ou bien mis l'accent sur l'abolition de l'esclavage.
A great hero of Christianity in many ways.
Il était un grand héros du christianisme dans beaucoup de façons.
But his idea about salvation,
mais son idée du salut laisse à désirer.
That's not so good. All right, his best friend was George Whitefield.
Son meilleur ami, comme on l'a dit, c'est George Whitefield.
In his time, Whitefield was the greatest evangelist by far.
Whitefield était un plus grand évangéliste que John Wesley.
To me, he's the greatest evangelist since Paul. That's how amazing he was.
Pour moi, depuis l'apôtre Paul, jusqu'à à part l'apôtre Paul, il est le plus grand évangéliste.
He crossed the Atlantic and back 7 times.
Il a traversé l'Atlantique 7 fois.
To bring the gospel to America.
Pour amener l'évangile en Amérique.
Because Christianity was very, very weak in America at that time.
Parce qu'à ce moment-là, le christianisme était très, très faible aux États-Unis.
Just one of his 7 voyages.
Un de ses 7 voyages.
Just one of them. This is the path that he took.
Alors, voilà son voyage, pas de ses voyages missionnaires.
He risked his life hundreds and hundreds of times.
Il a risqué sa vie des centaines et des centaines de fois.
And unlike Wesley, he died relatively young.
Et il est mort relativement jeune.
He was a very close friend of Benjamin Franklin.
Un très grand ami de Benjamin Franklin.
And being a pietist,
étant un pietiste,
he was willing to be friends with any denomination.
Il était prêt à se lier d'amitié avec toutes les dénominations.
But
mais,
he was a very strong Calvinist.
Mais il était un très grand Calviniste.
He and Wesley were best friends.
Lui et Wesley étaient les meilleurs amis.
But they were the exact opposite.
Mais ils étaient opposés l'un à l'autre.
I wish I could say more about Whitefield.
J'aurais voulu dire plus sur George Whitefield.
So now we'll talk about Jonathan Edwards.
Parlons maintenant de Jonathan Edwards.
The most famous theologian in the history of the United States.
Le plus grand théologien dans l'histoire des États-Unis.
We're now in the 18th century.
Là, nous sommes au 18e siècle.
And Jonathan Edwards.
Et Jonathan Edwards.
As well as John Wesley,
John Wesley
and George Whitefield,
George Whitefield,
those three caused what we call the first great awakening.
Ces trois ont été devant ce qu'on a appelé le grand réveil.
Jonathan Edwards was a very, very strong Calvinist.
Jonathan Edwards était un très grand Calviniste.
And thanks to Whitefield and Edwards, Most of Christianity in the Americas was Calvinist.
Et grâce à ces deux-là, la plus grande partie du christianisme américain est calviniste.
But Jonathan Edwards created this idea that Christianity has revivals.
Que le christianisme a des moments de réveil.
So the Holy Spirit comes and he causes a revival.
Donc l'Esprit Saint vient et crée des réveils.
And there's a great outpouring of the Spirit.
Et l'Esprit se répand.
And suddenly people start getting saved.
Et du coup, beaucoup de personnes commencent à être sauvées.
That's evangelical Christianity.
Ça, c'est le christianisme évangélique.
He was a fire and brimstone preacher.
Il était un prédicateur de feu et de
fire and brimstone, like Sodom and Gomorrah, you know.
Comme Sodom et Gomorrah, feu et soufre.
In his sermon, he would say,
quand il prêche, il dit,
God is dangling your body over the fire.
Dieu est en train de voilà, suspend ton corps au-dessus du feu de l'enfer.
And you'll be tortured in hell.
Et tu seras torturé dans l'enfer.
Unless you become a Christian right now.
À moins que tout de suite tu décides de devenir chrétien.
Remember I said we probably overemphasize God's love by comparison?
Rappelez-vous que je vous ai dit que nous parlons beaucoup d'amour en comparaison de cela.
These guys emphasized hell too much.
Ceux-là parlaient souvent de l'enfer.
But remember that idea of having a personal experience?
Vous vous rappelez, j'ai parlé de l'expérience personnelle.
Under his influence,
sous son influence,
you had to prove to the church,
il fallait prouver à l'église,
you had one of these experiences.
Que on a eu une telle expérience.
Unless you could describe in great detail,
à moins de pouvoir décrire en détail comment on a eu l'expérience profonde de Christ.
I did this, and then I did this,
ça,
and I broke out in tears, and then I passed out, and then suddenly I felt God came upon me, and people who didn't have that, the elders would say,
les anciens de l'église diraient,
you can't be in our church.
C'est pas possible de faire d'être mort de l'église.
And in Massachusetts,
à Massachusetts,
probably less than 5% of people were members of the church.
Probablement moins de 5% de la population était membre de l'église.
Because this was Calvinism,
parce que c'était le calvinisme,
but it was a very angry Calvinism.
Donc, ben, calvinisme de colère.
Okay. Then,
ensuite,
that all changed
tout cela a changé
with the second great awakening.
Avec le deuxième grand réveil.
This was about 80 years later.
À peu près 80 ans plus tard.
Now, Americans like to tell you
les Américains vous diraient
that theirs is a Christian country.
Que l'Amérique est un pays chrétien.
And the founders of America were Christians.
Et que les fondateurs de l'Amérique sont chrétiens.
That's not true.
C'était pas vrai.
Thomas Jefferson?
Thomas Jefferson?
He was a deist.
Il était un déiste.
Like Benjamin Franklin.
Comme Benjamin Franklin.
And George Washington.
Et George Washington.
They didn't believe that Jesus had raised from the dead.
Ils ne croyaient pas que Jésus était ressuscité des morts.
And America was not very Christian at all.
Et l'Amérique n'était pas chrétienne du tout.
Now, they used the Bible a lot.
Ils utilisent beaucoup la Bible, oui.
In fact, Thomas Jefferson published his own edition of the Bible.
En fait, Thomas Jefferson avait sa propre version de la Bible.
In which he removed about three quarters of it.
Il a écrit sa propre version de la Bible.
These guys weren't very Christian.
Il a édité, voilà, sa propre version.
But
that he removed about 3/4.
Yeah, he just took it out. These fathers in America, they were not Christians.
Ces pères de l'Amérique n'était pas chrétien.
Alexander Hamilton? Oh, definitely not.
Alexander Hamilton n'était pas.
And church attendance in America was much lower then than it is now.
Et moins de personnes allaient à l'église à l'époque que maintenant.
All this changed in the Second Great Awakening.
Et tout ceci a changé au deuxième grand réveil.
This was in the beginning of the 19th century.
Au début du 19e siècle.
And it was a different kind of Christianity from before.
Et ce christianisme est différent de ce qu'il y avait avant.
It was very American.
C'était un christianisme très américain.
Very individualistic.
Très individualiste.
Everybody decides for themselves what they believe.
Chacun décide ce qu'il va croire.
Your denomination doesn't tell you what to believe. You read the Bible for yourself.
Ta dénomination ne donne aucune indication. Lis la Bible toi-même et décide ce que tu vas croire.
And democracy and Christianity, oh, those are almost the same thing.
La démocratie et le christianisme, c'est à peu près la même chose.
So Christianity became very, very American.
Non, le christianisme est devenu très américain.
And that American kind of Christianity,
donc, un christianisme très américain,
went back to Europe.
Donc, ce christianisme américain est reparti maintenant à traverser l'Atlantique pour arriver en Europe.
And it came to Africa.
Et c'est arrivé en Afrique.
And so this kind of evangelical version of Christianity that evolved in America,
dans ce genre de christianisme évangélique qui a commencé aux États-Unis,
it was exported all over the world.
A été exporté en Europe et en Afrique et partout dans le monde.
So evangelical Christianity was born,
dans le christianisme évangélique est né,
in England and America.
En Angleterre et aux États-Unis.
The Baptists grew very, very quickly.
Les Baptistes, le groupe des Baptistes a grandi très rapidement.
Because they had independent churches.
Parce qu'ils avaient des églises indépendantes.
Instead of a big organization.
Au lieu d'avoir une grande organisation hiérarchisée, ils avaient plusieurs églises.
The Methodists grew very, very rapidly.
Les Méthodistes aussi ont grandi rapidement.
This is also when the Church of Christ got bigger.
Et c'est en ce moment aussi qu'a commencé l'Église du Christ.
And also the Mormons.
Les Mormons aussi.
The Mormons say they're part of the Restoration Movement.
That they are, sorry.
They call themselves a Restoration Church.
Les Mormons aussi se sont appelés eux-mêmes un mouvement de restauration.
There was a big event in Kentucky.
Alors, il y a eu un grand événement à Kentucky.
And the year was 1801.
En 1801,
called the Cane Ridge Revival.
Le réveil de Cane Ridge.
And tens of thousands came.
Des dizaines de milliers de personnes sont venues à cet endroit.
More people came to this revival.
Plus de personnes sont venues à ce réveil.
Than the entire population of Kentucky.
C'est-à-dire, ceux qui sont venus sont plus nombreux que ceux qui habitent le Kentucky.
It went on for a couple of weeks.
Et cette réunion, ce réveil, a duré plusieurs semaines.
Methodists.
Les Méthodistes.
Baptists.
Les Baptistes.
Presbyterians.
Les Presbytériens.
Every kind came.
Tous ces groupes-là, ces groupes et d'autres sont venus.
Except Catholics.
Bon, bien sûr, les catholiques n'étaient pas là.
And they would have maybe 10 different people preaching at once.
Et ils avaient, c'est-à-dire tout le rôle des gens qui montaient et prêchaient.
And there was this big outpouring of enthusiasm.
Chaque fois, il y avait peut-être 10 personnes qui prêchaient en même temps.
People rolling around on the ground and all kinds of things.
Et les gens, et beaucoup d'événements, comme les gens qui tombaient par terre, se roulaient par terre, tout genre de choses se produisaient.
The leader of the church where this happened?
Qui était le dirigeant de l'église?
His name is Barton Stone.
Le dirigeant de cet événement.
Barton Stone.
But which church?
Go back.
Okay.
Go back, please. Go back. Bye. Okay. Barton Stone.
Barton Stone.
He and Alexander Campbell started our movement.
Lui et Alexander Campbell ont commencé notre mouvement.
And suddenly, everywhere, especially on the frontier, but everywhere in America, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands flocked into the churches.
Et partout aux États-Unis, des centaines de milliers ont commencé à aller dans les églises.
This is when America became a Christian country.
Et c'est en ce moment qu'on peut dire que les États, l'Amérique est devenue un pays chrétien.
I don't have exact numbers.
J'ai pas de chiffres.
So, approximately,
à peu près,
church attendance went from less than 10%.
Donc, le nombre de personnes qui allaient à l'église
to like
allait passer d'à peu près 10% de la population totale
to like 40 or 50%.
Et à peu près 40 à 50% de tous les Américains ont commencé à aller à l'église.
And Methodists became the largest group.
Et les méthodistes sont devenus le groupe le plus grand.
The ones who were losing out were the Presbyterians.
Le groupe qui diminuait en nombre, c'était les Presbytériens.
But then along comes Charles Finney.
Et ensuite on voit Charles Finney.
My apologies. My apologies.
Donc, mes excuses.
That in this section, everyone I mention is an American.
Que tout ce que je mentionne dans cette partie de la leçon, ils sont tous américains.
But that's the history of it, okay?
Mais c'est l'histoire.
It's not my fault.
C'est pas ma faute.
I believe.
Je crois.
In the next 50 to 100 years.
Que dans 50 ou 100 ans.
Most important new Christian groups are going to come from Africa.
Que les groupes chrétiens les plus importants viendront de l'Afrique.
And students of Christian history are pretty much all in agreement on that.
Et ceux qui étudient l'histoire de l'Église sont tous d'accord que c'est l'Afrique qui est la frontière, qui sera en avant très bientôt.
But at this time,
mais en ce moment-ci,
there were almost no Christians in Africa.
Il y avait presque aucun chrétien en Afrique.
So Charles Finney, the greatest preacher in his time,
le plus grand prédicateur de son temps,
he started a huge revival,
a commencé une grande revival,
and he became the most influential theologian in the 19th century.
Et est devenu le théologien le plus influent du 19th siècle.
In the 18th century, Jonathan Edwards. In the 19th century, Charles Finney. Modern evangelical Christianity
model.
The most important individual to forming that is probably Charles Finney. Even if you never heard of him. So, he created what I call happy Calvinism. Because Calvinism was losing most of its members. It was an angry, pessimistic religion. But one thing about America, we're very optimistic. So he changed to what, this is my name, what, happy Calvinism. Alright, there are 5 points in Calvinism. Some of them are happy. Some of them are sad. Which is the saddest of the five? Maybe limited atonement. Maybe. Or maybe, possibly, total depravity. So he created what's called 3-point Calvinism, or maybe 4-point Calvinism. Irresistible grace?
Absolutely.
And perseverance of the saints? Definitely. Okay, that's what happened. So, Calvinism is now what I call happy Calvinism. And it allowed Calvinism to continue in America. And even today, in America, but also in Africa, and in Southern Asia, most Christianity is like Charles Finney Calvinism. Now, before Charles Finney, conversion was a very, very drawn out process. And you have all these feelings and emotions. And, and nobody ever knew if they were saved. Charles.
La conversion était un processus très long et on ne savait pas à quel point on est devenu.
He says, no more.
Et la vie, on arrête pas.
The anxious bench.
Okay. Anxious bench?
That's what they say in English.
Okay, what about the bench?
Yeah.
Alors, c'est le banc de la personne anxieuse.
You come to church. You may know nothing about God. You may have never read your Bible in your whole life. You hear the preaching? You accept Jesus. Right there. Awesome. Saved. Yeah. Charles Finney invented that idea. That's in the 1800s. This is when the idea that you just have a feeling in your heart, you pray Jesus into your heart. Yeah, that's when this happened. So, this concept of salvation that's so common began with Charles Finney. Do I have another quote from him? Yeah, here's a quote. This is what he said about baptism.
L'Église a dû estimer qu'il était nécessaire d'avoir quelque chose de ce genre pour répondre à ce but précis. À l'époque des apôtres, le baptême répondait à ce but. Il occupait la place occupe aujourd'hui le siège en cieux comme manifestation publique de leur détermination à être pour acteur d'apparaître et de se voir
look at that quote. Read it twice.
Regarde, lisez deux fois cette citation.
He's the most honest evangelical I ever heard about.
Il est l'évangélique le plus bizarre que je connais.
He says, we're going to replace baptism with the mourner's bench. The apostles had baptism, but we have the mourner's bench. The most honest evangelical I ever heard. Honest, yes.
Honest,
the most honest.
Prompt,
yes. Because he invented the idea. And if you invented the idea, you'd probably be honest about it. So, this explains Christianity in America. Not all of it, just most of it. And this explains Christianity in Africa. Not all of it, but much of it. But Finney had some very good positive qualities as well. He was a very effective evangelist. He was probably the strongest voice in America at that time against slavery. He founded a university for the very purpose of opposing slavery. And he founded many institutions of education. He was maybe the strongest advocate of public education at that time. Many positive qualities. But this is really bad. How many millions, how many tens of millions, maybe even hundreds of millions are deceived and lost because of Charles Finney and those who came after him. The next great evangelist, Billy Sunday. That's his actual name. In French, that may not... What's French for Sunday?
Dimanche.
It's like Billy Dimanche. Very great name. That was his actual name. He was a baseball player. He had almost no education. He was born very, very poor. He was an orphan. But he had a very strong conversion experience, very strong. And he became by far the greatest revival preacher. From about 1890 to about
1930.
He was one of the first modern preachers. Before him, most preachers, this would be their sermon. They would write it and then read it. That was their delivery. But Charles Finney, he would march across the stage and use illustration from playing baseball. And a sermon became a performance. Like Christianity in Africa today, you know, that kind of the music, the loud popular music, almost everything we associate with Christian worship he introduced those things. He had a thing called the Sawdust Trail. Most of his meetings were intense. For two reasons. Because almost all of those who came were poor. Plus there were tens of thousands. They didn't fit in any church. You could even see the tent there. And they had the Sawdust Trail. You know what sawdust is? Like when
sawdust.
Okay. You know what it is?
Yeah, it's like for the carpenters, right?
Yeah, right.
So,
He says, come down the sawdust trail. Come forward. Just as I am. You know, coming forward. And hundreds, thousands would come forward.
And
instant Christian. They pray Jesus into their heart. And then, good luck. That sounds like Billy Graham. But it's because it is like Billy Graham. Because Billy Sunday and Billy Graham, there's almost no difference. He was the first one to specifically say, pray Jesus into your heart. Come down the sawdust trail and accept Jesus. Maybe even repent if you want, I guess. Get baptized, don't get baptized, whatever. So all that bad Christianity that you have, it all comes from America. Hey, but at least you have Christianity. I'm not kidding. I'm serious. Okay, at least you have Christianity. But it's evangelical Christianity. One more thing about Billy Sunday. Before Billy Sunday, evangelical Christianity was strongly associated with liberal causes. Helping the poor. Creating education. Overcoming slavery. Social justice. Things that we associate with liberal causes. With Billy Sunday, oh no, the exact opposite. He was politically very conservative. He would be a Republican. And he said, Christian's job is to save people. All that social justice stuff, that's for the liberal Protestants and for the government. So after Billy Sunday, evangelical Christianity was associated with politics. With political conservative politics. And that's definitely the case in America today. So that was an important change. All right, then we have the 20th century. Bill Bright, the four spiritual laws. You know, most Bibles, they have, you know, what are the four spiritual laws? Jesus died for you, you're a sinner, all that stuff. You know, the stuff everybody learns. You know that formula that everybody teaches? You know, Jesus died for you, you're a sinner, God has a plan for your life. Now pray and ask Him to forgive you. Praise the Lord. You don't even have to go to a revival, just right here. Bill Bright invented that. And Billy Graham also. By the way, I believe Billy Graham was a great man.
Je pense que, je crois que Billy Graham
a great evangelist. And unlike most other evangelicals, committed to social justice, but he also promoted the sinner's prayer. And all those other things. Okay, now, next. What is next? I forget. All right. Oh, there's the four spiritual laws. Is this familiar? Did you read all four of them?
One line of
each. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I read the whole thing.
All right, do you agree that God loves you and offers a wonderful plan for your life?
Est-ce que tu es d'accord que Dieu t'aime? Est-ce que tu es d'accord que Dieu t'aime et a un grand plan pour ta vie?
Yeah, I guess so. Do you agree that we are all sinful and separated from God?
Est-ce que tu es d'accord que tout ce qui est péché est séparé de Dieu?
And because we're separated, we can't experience God's love. And His plan. Yeah, I agree with that. Do you agree that Jesus is God's only provision for sin? Yeah, I agree with that. Do you agree that we receive Christ as Savior and Lord? Definitely not. You have to repent and be baptized. Do you see anything about the lordship of Jesus? I don't see anything about that. Do you see anything about repentance? I don't see anything about that. And besides, this is very, very individualistic. This is so American. This is so American. It's all about you. He says you and individual is very, very individualistic. There's nothing about commitment to a body. There's definitely no church study here. You go to whatever church you want to, the one that makes you feel good. So the first three, they look good. But read between the lines. It's so easy. You don't have to really do anything. And it's all about you. It's all about you. So these three are kind of true, but what a bad tone it sets. And this is a deceitful lie that causes tens of millions to go to hell. But that's the history of evangelical Christianity. Next slide. There he is, Billy Graham. A lot of very admirable qualities, by the way. You know, so many of those evangelical preachers, they're just putting money in their pockets and they're having a sexual relationship on the side. He never did any of those things.
Lui n'a fait aucun de ça.
All right, next. All right, talk about the origin of our church.
Maintenant, on va parler de l'origine.
Yeah, we'll take a break now. But what about Branham?
Branham. Okay.
Where does Branham come from? Ah, in America, they never heard of Branham. Who's that? Where did he come from?
So,
Yeah. In America, they never heard of him. If you talk to 1,000 Americans, I bet not one of them has ever heard of him. So who is he? Where does he fit in all this? We'll find out later. Oh, questions. After the break. After the questions, break. So, any quick questions?
Okay.
The question is Billy Sunday about money?
Donc la question c'est si Billy Sunday a été motivé par le gain.
Yes, that was one of the big problems with Billy Sunday.
Oui, c'était un des grands problèmes.
Now, he was born in very extreme poverty.
Il était né dans une pauvreté, dans une grande pauvreté.
He had a lot of trauma from his poverty.
Il a été très traumatisé par son enfance modeste.
When he became famous, he got caught up in all that prosperity gospel thing. But if you understand the extreme poverty of his upbringing, it makes me able to forgive him a little bit more. But yes, he had fancy cars and fancy clothing. But in the last about 8 or 10 years of his ministry, he realized how evil that was. And he got rid of almost all of his worldly goods, and he actually he changed, but he created a pattern. Some people would blame him for the prosperity gospel, there's some truth to that, but I would blame more like William Branham.
William Branham,
or Oral Roberts. I think they deserve more blame. Because they didn't have the background that Billy Sunday had to not really. Because once Billy Sunday figured it out, he repented and he stopped acting that way. So a mixed response. Another question.
Yes. Je voudrais qu'on parle un peu des baptistes généraux et puis les baptistes particuliers. C'est que aux États-Unis, il a parlé de particuliers sont plus nombreux, 80%, et puis les généraux sont 2%. Bon, ici, en Côte d'Ivoire, par exemple, on a plusieurs types de baptistes. Baptistes, œuvres, missions, baptistes, ceci et cela, etc., etc. Alors, on a vu plusieurs débats entre Douglas Jacobi et puis les baptistes. Alors, lequel de ces groupes avec qui il a souvent vraiment des discussions?
Okay, so, General Baptist and the particular one.
Yeah.
And in the U.S., 98% general. And now here.
No, particular.
Particular.
Yeah.
Not particular, sorry. So here we have Baptists, many groups, different groups.
Yeah.
And we also know that Douglas Jacobi sometimes had debates with the Baptists. So which group, which one of two groups debate?
I've not looked at the statistics.
J'ai pas analysé, j'ai pas vu les chiffres.
But I feel very confident to say
je peux dire avec assurance,
that version of Baptists came from America.
Que cette version,
yeah, I feel very confident.
Les Baptistes que nous avons ici viennent de ça.
So I would assume they all are Calvinists. And they sign off on what's called the Westminster Convention. It's the creed. When they're ordained. It's very Calvinist. But again, remember, let's not assume when we talk to people.
Voilà. Donc, quand nous rencontrons des Baptistes,
but if they,
ne supposons rien, écoutons, posons des questions.
If they teach one saved, always saved,
s'ils enseignent que une fois sauvé, toujours sauvé,
then they're probably Baptist.
Donc, ils sont probablement
Baptist. I'm sorry, probably Calvinist.
Probablement Calvinist.
Anyway, but I don't know. I'm guessing. But I'm pretty sure. Right, it's a classic. Alexander Campbell did many debates.
Alexander Campbell a fait beaucoup de débats.
But probably his most famous debate was against the Baptist guy over baptism. It's called the Campbell-Walker debate.
Le débat Campbell-Walker.
And, yeah.
Thank you.
Sure. Okay, you want to pick for me?
That these big names, that from hearing the Protestants yesterday, they seem to be the ones to blame for most of the cost of things that we have today.
Who?
All the names.
Okay.
So his question is, what did they bring to us into Christianity?
Well, I have tried throughout this entire discussion to talk about their positive qualities. Right? I talked about Luther's positive qualities. I talked about Calvin's positive qualities. In fact, I talked about them quite a bit. I had a lot of very good things to say about John Wesley. I said some pretty nice things about Charles Finney. And just 5 minutes ago, I said some really good things about Billy Graham, did I not? Those are the good things they brought. If it were not for Martin Luther, what would the situation in Christianity be if it had not been for Martin Luther? I described him as a great hero, did I not? And what about Jean Calvin?
Hey, Jean Calvin.
I mean, where would our ability to study deeply exegesis of the Bible be?
Sans Jean Calvin, est-ce qu'on sera en mesure aujourd'hui d'étudier, de faire de l'herméneutique, la bonne interprétation de la Bible?
We owe so many good things to these people.
Nous devons de très très bonnes choses de cette personne.
And remember, I talked about Pope Gregory. Remember, I said he was an amazing human being. So maybe you didn't hear the good things.
Yeah, they said today, those people are maybe guilty for what we have today, the Christian, like you meet people
sure.
who are thinking, once saved, always saved, things like that.
Yeah. Well, all I know is God is the judge.
C'est que c'est Dieu qui est juge.
It's my job to describe what happened.
Mon travail, c'est de décrire exactement ce qui s'est passé.
And I try to be fair.
Et j'essaie d'être juste.
And much of what we have that is good
et ce que nous avons, c'est-à-dire l'essentiel de ce que nous avons de bon aujourd'hui.
We owe to Pope Gregory.
C'est au pape Grégoire que nous le devons.
And Billy Graham.
Billy Graham que nous le devons.
And these other people.
Et toutes ces autres personnes.
Is Billy Graham going to be in heaven?
Est-ce que Billy Graham ira au ciel?
You're asking the wrong person.
Vous, c'est pas moi, Dieu le dit.
You ask God.
Faut demander à Dieu.
So what about Charles Finney?
Et Charles Finney?
I'm telling you, he was one of the most beautiful human beings.
Il est l'un des êtres humains les plus incroyables.
There's so much admirable there.
Yeah.
So, will he be in heaven?
Sera-t-il au ciel?
I'm not going to express an opinion.
Je n'ai pas d'opinion.
I have one.
J'ai une opinion.
So, anyway, our job is to learn from history.
Dans notre travail, c'est d'apprendre de l'histoire.
And you could have your opinion. I'm sure you already do.
Tu peux avoir ton opinion. Certainement, tu as une opinion.
If you and I sit down over dinner, I can tell you my opinion. But I tried to point out occasionally, I didn't brand those guys as going to hell. But you might have noticed occasionally I said, these are real Christians.
De temps en temps, je disais que ceux-là, c'est des vrais chrétiens.
For example, the Anabaptists.
Par exemple, les Anabaptists.
And the very early Baptists as well.
Et les tout premiers Baptistes aussi.
But, you know, that doesn't mean everybody in that group is going to heaven.
Ça ne veut pas dire que tous ceux qui font partie de ces groupes-là, iront au ciel.
So I'm not in the judging business.
Donc je ne suis pas dans le business du jugement.
God is in the judging business.
C'est Dieu qui juge.
Yes, but many of these heroes of the faith had some doctrines that I find to be repulsive.
Ont des doctrines qui me repoussent.
I find Calvinism to be repulsive.
Je trouve que le calvinisme me repousse.
Anyway, you decide.
Ça vous est d'accord avec ça.
On n'a pas entendu parler de des nouveaux produits qui on n'a pas entendu parler de distributeurs, de l'église, de l'église, de tous les mots qui ont été mis en sorte qui parlent de l'évangile, de la vérité, de la vérité par la foi. Où sont les
conseils de prêtre.
Yeah, I didn't come here to judge some group. I didn't come here for that purpose. Well, that's what we're talking about right now. I didn't get to Branham and Oral Roberts yet. But the prosperity gospel is found within evangelical Christianity, especially Pentecostal. And I'll cover that later if we have time. Not quite there.
Is it something that you believe in, or just sort of recite that to get baptized?
That is the most common belief in America, for sure. And in many places around the world. That is the standard belief on salvation. I share my faith with hundreds and hundreds of people on campus. Probably about 60% say they're Christian. And that is the belief of salvation for most of them.
It's
kind of the American version of Christianity. I'm sure it's probably, to a large extent, the African version of Christianity. Yeah, that's just, it seems like that's what everybody believes. Not literally, but it seems to be the pretty much the assumption. You know, at American football games, they hold up John 3:16. The one holding up John 3:16, I guarantee you, they use the four spiritual laws. And it goes back to Martin Luther. Faith alone. We're saved by faith alone. Apart from works. So God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that all those who believe, even if they don't repent or ever make Jesus Lord, are saved. Of course, you know that's not true. That's Christianity in America. Pretty much. By the way, the Pentecostals used to not teach that. Not, yeah. But gradually they're becoming more and more evangelical. Remember I told you that story yesterday about the brother in San Diego. He grew up in a Pentecostal church that 20 years ago taught repentance and baptism. And now they teach the four spiritual laws. Because if you want to have a big church,
parce que si tu veux avoir une église remplie,
and you want to have success,
et du succès.
And money.
Et de l'argent.
And many people under you.
Et beaucoup de personnes sous toi. It's
four spiritual law.
Les quatre lois spirituelles.
That's a lot better.
C'est mieux.
Teaching repentance.
Enseigner la repentance.
And people start leaving your church.
Les gens commencent à quitter ton église.
Right?
N'est-ce pas?
Exactly. Let's take a sister. Okay, fine, good. Yeah. Closer to your mouth.
Okay, so about Billy Graham. Yeah, she said she grew up hearing, singing.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. Now, where is Billy Graham today? What happened to his home?
Okay, it might sound strange. But Billy Graham was always interdenominational. Yeah, ecumenical, yeah. Which is very unique about Billy Graham. He was Southern Baptist. His whole life. He attended church, Southern Baptist. But his ministry was broadly ecumenical. So his theology was Calvinist. His doctrine was Baptist. But his preaching was just sort of broad, sort of Christian thing. And he was a unifier. When Billy Graham came to town, the Methodists would come, the Baptists, the Presbyterians, even the Pentecostals. So, in many ways, that's a positive trait of Billy Graham. And Billy Graham was willing to call people to repentance. In his sermons. But he did not demand repentance for salvation. It's been estimated that more people heard about Jesus from Billy Graham's ministry than any other human ever born. The only one even close to Billy Graham is John Paul II. So more people heard about Jesus from John Paul II and from Billy Graham than anybody in history. And like I said, Billy Graham has a lot of positive qualities. Of all these TV preachers, to me, he rises to the top. But there's a big problem. Because he taught four spiritual laws. And he had many people pray Jesus into their heart. But there was no church for them to go to.
Quand ils ont prié Jésus dans leur cœur et qu'en Afrique ils sont sauvés,
Come to my big. Come to my big revival. Become a Christian. And then, okay. But I'm being a little bit too harsh there. Because whenever Billy Graham came to town, hundreds and even thousands of pastors would come together. And they try to arrange ways for people who were converted to become part of a church. So anyway, you decide what you think about Billy Graham. There's good and there's bad. I'm not sure how many people actually became an actual real Christian. But who knows? Maybe somebody heard about Jesus from Billy Graham. And then you met them. And they became a Christian. God moves in mysterious ways.
Ma question, c'est au niveau de la doctrine fondamentale de certains groupes. Voilà. Il a dit là que les presbytériens sont calvinistes. Il a également dit que les baptistes particuliers sont calvinistes. Maintenant, il a dit que John Wesley, qui a commencé le mouvement de restauration, c'était arménien. Est-ce que les méthodistes, leur doctrine fondamentale, c'est l'arménie?
Definitely, yes.
The particular ones?
Yes.
Non, les méthodistes, est-ce qu'ils sont arméniens, puisque
John Wesley is Armenian.
Yeah.
And his movement left behind.
Yeah.
Are they Armenian?
Yeah. Yes. And that includes Wesleyan.
Okay. Well, if I comprend the
Wesleyan Church.
L'église Wesleyan.
Also the Nazarene, Church of the Nazarene.
Aussi l'église des Nazaréens.
That's Methodist.
Yeah.
Les Baptistes généraux, ils sont arméniens, alors.
The General Baptist?
No, they're Arminian, yeah. All right, that's actually a good question, and I think it's a difficult question, honestly. Because the formula
Parce que la formule
for becoming a Christian is fairly clear. It's not hard to figure out.
La formule pour devenir chrétien est assez claire, pas difficile à comprendre.
I'll say it for the sixth time, just in case. A person has to put their faith in Jesus. Not just that he existed, but that he is God in the flesh. And that he died and was raised from the dead on the third day. And that his blood gives us opportunity to be saved. If that's all it took to become a Christian, there'd be a lot of Christians. But Jesus made it clear. Unless you give up everything you have, you cannot be my disciple. And in Matthew 28, 18 to 20, who did he say we should baptize? Disciples. So unless you're a disciple, you've not been saved. So people need to make Jesus Lord, and not just words, he's really Lord. In fact, in his sermon, Peter said, God made Jesus Lord and Savior. Some in the crowd said, Amen, praise the Lord. And what did Peter say? Good, you're a disciple of Jesus. You believe in Jesus. So just get baptized. That's not what he said. You need to repent and then be baptized. But here's the confusing part, and honestly, it's tricky. Let's say somebody believes in Jesus, they know Jesus, they know about his salvation and all that. Who knows? Maybe they even went to a Billy Graham crusade. And they prayed Jesus into their heart. Not really, but they thought so. And they started attending a church. They're very, very sincere. I'm sure here you've met some very, very devoted believers who are not part of our church. I know that. So let's assume that they're very, very devoted. They're a disciple, okay? And at some point, they took serious consideration of their sins. It's not like nobody ever preaches repentance. And then, so, they've repented. And then somebody says, oh yeah, there's that baptism thing. Why should I get baptized? You know, it's just an outward sign. But it fulfills all righteousness. So, why don't you get baptized? Well, of course. I mean, if Jesus said so, sure, I'll do it. Are they saved? There's a big word for that, and I don't know what in French. It's the doctrine of baptismal cognizance. Baptismal cognizance. So in this scenario, it's just a scenario. Somebody did all of those things. But when they got baptized, they had nothing to do with salvation. They weren't baptized into Christ. They just got baptized. But they were a disciple. And all of us have met very, very devoted, dedicated people. We all have. Let's be honest. And you ask, are you sure you repented? Yes. And you go down the list, their life really changed. But they got baptized. But they were never taught correctly. So is that person saved? Our sort of, the Church of Christ says no. And the ICOC I think they say no, except not everybody. Most of the teachers, in fact, I think probably all the teachers in our movement would say yes. It's kind of a secret. So if you ask Doug Jacoby, he would say yes. If you ask Gordon Ferguson, he would say yes. I'm not going to go any further on that. And so, probably everybody's really worried right now. But I'll continue. This is a very, very rare, very rare. I've been in this situation more than once. Oh, by the way, Alexander Campbell? He definitely would say they were saved. So would Barton Stone. I know that. Because there was a guy in Alexander Campbell's group who started teaching. If you didn't know what you were doing, then you're lost. Alexander Campbell said, you get out of here. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, that started a whole other denomination. They're called the Christadelphians. Don't worry, it doesn't matter. But anyway, here would be my reasoning. God said, this is what I want you to do. And somebody did everything God asked them to do. So they're going to go to hell because they didn't quite understand kind of how it all works? I find it hard to say that, honestly. But my experience is different from my teaching. Because my experience says most people in that situation, they find themselves, I don't know, man. So I encourage them to consider being baptized. And I know of almost no examples where they didn't do that. So the traditional Church of Christ doctrine is baptismal cognizance is required.
La conscience du baptême est demandée.
And that has been, I think, generally what has been taught in our church. But I guess I don't agree with that. And if I make a problem around here for saying that, I apologize. So that's something to think about. I wouldn't have brought that up except you asked. Yeah, okay. I want to make one more comment before I take the next question. Now, some people say, oh, this is like a slippery slope. If we accept that, we're just going to keep going more and more liberal. Here's what I would say to that. I would not let anybody place membership in the church who does not clearly understand that
j'essaie d'expliquer le concept de place membership.
Right.
Voilà, place membership. Le place membership, c'est de rencontrer quelqu'un. Et la personne a démontré par plus B que.
Maybe, why don't you let her translate it for me?
No?
Okay. Want me to start over again?
Yes.
Okay.
Start over as
word by word.
Some people say, oh, this is just a slippery slope. Next thing, we won't even teach you have to be baptized anymore. Here's my response. No one could ever be a member of my church who does not understand that baptism is when you're saved. So even if that's not what you're taught, that's what you believe now, right? Are you sure? You agree with us that no one is saved until they're baptized. You agree with that, right? Is that what you were taught? No. But is that what you believe? Is that what you're going to teach? Okay. So it's not a slippery slope. All right, now let's take her.
Yes. Yeah. So she said that since the person, you know, being baptized is not believing that you need faith in Jesus before you enter the water, then, you know, isn't that a problem?
Yeah.
You can just get baptized for the sake of it.
I understand the argument.
And
you could use Colossians chapter 2 to even prove your position. I know, I understand. But I still have this opinion.
Il y a toujours cette opinion.
And if you don't agree with me, it's okay. Yeah.
Mais si tu n'es pas d'accord avec moi, il n'y a pas de problème.
But I believe if somebody has made Jesus Lord,
si quelqu'un a fait de Jésus Seigneur,
truly,
vraiment,
and truly repented, and out of obedience, also,
et par obéissance,
after those two things being baptized,
après ces deux choses, j'étais baptisé,
I don't think they go to hell for eternity.
Je ne pense qu'ils iront en enfer.
Because their understanding was not exactly correct.
Parce que leur compréhension n'était pas très correct.
But
if
you disagree on that,
si vous n'êtes pas d'accord, il n'y a pas de souci.
Amen, sister, we'll just hug and it's fine. I'm aware that you could argue the other direction. And I could even give you one or two verses to support your position. Yeah. Right, but somebody would say that. Even if she doesn't say that, somebody would. Yes, take a break.
Pause. 10, 15, 15.
Yeah.
10 minutes of pause.
Yeah. Asking about your microphone. What is it for? Your microphone?
I'm recording. All good. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Anyway, you can see why I prefer that question does not come up.
I know.
But if it came up, I had no choice.
It's the Holy Spirit, right?
Yeah.
You cannot be